He's not a...
And all these people that keep coming in to stay with him because they can't afford a place are sleeping under his kitchen table.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Like a real New Yorker, like by God.
Like a real New Yorker would, yes. Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 67, not N65 or whatever, yeah. Because, last one was 66. We swear, no matter what we said at the time.
But the N was, it was a 2.
Yeah,
it's just 64 plus 2.
And in front of any number means plus 2 in this reality.
Yeah.
Or it could be a Mandela effect thing where in the reality we came from,
that's it.
That was a theorem, and yes. Then when we shifted realities into this reality, we brought that with us.
Well, I'll use my portal gun and go to a different reality. Next time. We're getting out of here, Morty. We can do this. This reality's fucking bullshit.
Well, yeah. It kind of is. Anyway. So this time we are jumping off of Will and Grace, which apparently Joe had never... Joe claimed that he did not like when I mentioned it before. And then I found out that he had never actually watched it.
Yeah. Well, I had never watched a full episode. I probably got through 10 minutes of it and was like, eh. So yeah. I watched 3 episodes. I watched the first 3.
Okay.
And
it is a formulaic late 90s or early 2000s sitcom. However, it was one of the earliest and best representations of just homosexuality and not overdoing it.
Right, right. It was the first show where the homosexual character wasn't a stereotype.
Right. Well, like, except one of them kind of is.
Kind of.
But yeah.
You get it. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, like, I watched 3 episodes and I still think it's a joke that I just don't get.
Okay.
I don't know, like, it doesn't...
Well, it's... I think some of it is gone because the stigmas attached aren't there anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
I mean, it was a groundbreaking show.
Right. No.
And we have moved to the point where, you know, some of the jokes aren't funny because it's not a social construct that exists.
Right. Which, I mean, is good.
Much due to this show.
Yeah. Now, that was the other thing. Like, upon doing a little bit of research and all of that, you know, it really was the first show that had a prominent, like, leading homosexual character.
Yeah.
Which is huge. I mean, and this is not on some random channel. This is on network TV.
Yes.
8:30 time slot on a Thursday.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Queer as Folk predated it, but that was on Showtime.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So. And I mean, that's usually what happens, is that, you know, it'll start off on a more obscure or less available channel. And then eventually it moves into
something
the mainstream.
Will move into the mainstream, yes.
Right. So, I mean, that very significant. I know former Vice President Joe Biden said that Will and Grace probably did more to bring acceptance to, you know, LGBT culture than probably anything that has ever been done.
Right.
Before or since.
Because, you know, you have Jack on the side who's the flamboyant gay guy.
Yeah.
But your main character, Will, is the everyman. He's the everyman.
That happens to be
he's a lawyer, but he's the everyman. He's a lawyer, so they never have to explain how he has money.
Yeah.
You know, and occasionally his law stuff comes into play.
Right. How he keeps that swanky apartment.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, this is the little thing on the side that we can explain how he can afford that large of an apartment in New York City.
Right, in New York City, yeah.
So we can, you know, actually,
have
you know,
have
enough room to shoot the show. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not trying to shoot it in a studio loft.
Right. God, every room looks the same. Oh, it's all one room. It's a studio. Because he's just a fella. Like, he's not a...
And all these people that keep coming in to stay with him because they can't afford a place are sleeping under his kitchen table.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Like a real New Yorker, like by God.
Like a real New Yorker would, yes. Yeah.
But no, I mean, so I can appreciate it for its cultural significance, mm-hmm. and for what it did to sort of bring acceptance. And I mean, and that's an important thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because there were a lot of stigmas attached, and there still are.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it has to do with, like, I just don't think, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. It's a lot easier to accept somebody, and this is what the show did a lot of, when you mm-hmm. relate to them.
Yes.
You know, and so I think that's what it did, is that it made a homosexual character relatable.
Right.
And therefore, by making it relatable, well, it removes the stigma because, mm-hmm. okay, now, you know, you meet another homosexual person and you don't see them as a stigma or what your grandma told you
mm-hmm.
or that God hates them or whatever. You look at them as, oh, well, I like this guy.
Right.
I can like this guy too, you know, and that's okay. You know, and I think that's what it sort of needs to be done more of, like, to remove the stigmas is just, like, they're normal people.
Right.
That's how you should see them.
They're you just should talk to them.
They're like, people.
Like,
yeah.
They're people.
Like normal
yes.
folks.
If you have trouble figuring out how to address them, ask them.
Yeah. Yeah, it
and,
never
and,
hurts
and
to
they're,
ask.
They're more than accommodating because they understand you're taking a step to try to understand.
Right, right.
It's like going to a foreign country. You yeah. know, it's if you show an effort, you get,
we'll get, much
you get
more
credit
acceptance.
For yeah. making an effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have seen French people in Paris, like I've seen an American tourist walk up and ask them in English where something was and have them point them in the complete wrong direction. I have walked up and spoken in
broken,
like,
ass
French.
French.
Like, I mean, I was fluent enough. I could understand them. I just, my speaking wasn't real good.
Yeah.
You know, and they would show me the exact place where it was, you know.
Say, I'm from Quebec, so I speak broken ass French.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never claim to be American. I am Canadian.
No, I could be American. No, I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty
yeah.
obvious I was American, yeah. but, you know, if you walk up and, you know, you say in their language, I'm sorry I don't speak French very well, but you know,
yeah.
how do I get here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
oh, yeah.
It's right over here.
Oh, yeah, you know? It's actually over here.
But if you
yeah.
walk up with your fucking cowboy hat, hey, partner, how do I get to the subway? Fucking going somewhere else.
That yeah. way. Yeah.
It's in America. Yeah. Go back to America.
You go back to the airport, get on the plane.
And fly to your own fucking country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it's, but yeah, like I said, I mean, and I guess that is part of the reason why the jokes weren't that funny. I guess the 90s formulaic sitcoms, I don't know. I mean, there were, I would say that I didn't like them, but I did like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
And like the TGIF yeah, yeah. ones, but that, I think that's...
Well, and Hulu has brought a lot of those back.
Yeah.
After we decided on this one, they brought back a bunch of the TGIF ones.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah. I've managed to watch one episode of Perfect Strangers, and I will be watching the rest of the run.
Them. All
because,
of them.
Because
yes.
I love Balky Bar Takamus.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it's, which is great, you know, because I can just go be nostalgic for a little while.
Yeah, and you know, for the most part, they're just kind of dumb sitcoms that you just kind of turn off your brain and watch and kind of laugh every once in a while.
Right, right.
And honestly, if it has an underlying social commentary, then that kind of slides in almost unnoticed
yes.
if it's in a dumb sitcom.
Well, and that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, is you hit them with the funny, and then you slide the social commentary in underneath.
Right. Now... And I haven't seen last night's episode of the reboot
yes.
of Will and Grace, but I saw the first episode, and I'm hoping they got it all out of their system in the first episode, and they're on to the second episode, and it goes back to where it is. But in the first episode, they went very heavy-handed. They went to DC and confronted...
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So...
Well, I mean, and I understand...
I understand that they probably wanted to, you know, they wanted to address what's going on right now.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. But it was out of character for...
The show. Yeah.
And I'm hoping they go back to kind of the old formula for the rest of the season. And
right.
They just wanted to get that one shot in. But,
well,
yeah.
And on top of that, you know, it's... being so heavy-handed is kind of storyline constricting in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, they wrote it in as Grace got... Karen managed to get Grace the design gig to redo the Oval Office.
Yeah.
And, okay. And Will was, in theory, sending hate mail to this hot senator who he was actually sending love notes to. So he went to go see the hot senator, and they ran into each other in D.C., which neither of them was supposed to be there because neither of them wanted to tell the other one what they were doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean...
It had cheesy sitcom elements.
Honestly, they should have slipped it in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't. They didn't need to lead with it. They could have gotten us used to the, you know, the old dichotomy and right. how everything fit, and then slide that in as a little, you know,
yeah,
side episode. But you know, they wanted to lead with it, and unfortunately, I think it probably pushed away a lot of their audience who may not have come back for the second episode.
I don't know. I mean,
just because it was so heavy-handed. Because
NBC's already renewed it for a 10th season.
Okay.
Like, before it even came out, they just went ahead and renewed it.
I don't know if I consider... It's a reboot. It's not... I don't know if I consider that
they're
a 10th season.
They're calling it season 9 and season 10.
They should call it season 1 and season... I mean, Hulu has them differentiated as separate shows.
Right, and that's probably so it's easier to find.
Right, yeah.
You know,
because they want you to be able to find the new episode and
right.
not ruin your continuity on when you're watching the old episode.
Right,
yeah,
because you're watching the old show. I don't want to be in the middle of season 2. And then I go
watch
new
the episode
new episode.
Out, and suddenly now I don't know where I was.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah. I mean, I see why they did that,
yeah.
but I just, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, Netflix did the same thing with Mystery Science Theater. They kept the old stuff and mm-hmm. the new stuff separate.
Yeah, yeah.
Although this, you know, the new one is Mystery Science Theater, The Return.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
is fine. I mean, which, but...
I mean, yeah, and I could see that designation, and then you make it season 1 of Will and Grace Returns, or something
yeah.
something to that effect. But networks are networks. But, yeah, lately there have been TV reboots and film reboots. We've talked about film reboots.
Yes.
And how awful they're doing on film reboots. But a lot of the TV reboots, they do it differently.
They do.
They're continuing... Basically, if they don't get the original actors... The reboots aren't being made on TV.
Right.
Whereas in films, they're actually rebooting and trying to start over
with
modern...
It. And films are trying to go, forget about the old one.
Yeah. yeah.
Here's the new
here's
one.
The
Whereas
new one.
The networks are coming in and going, here's the old, you know.
Hey, let's give you a short summary of what happened in the last 20 years, which we'll cover in the 5 minutes at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Then we'll play the credits, and here we are.
Yeah.
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 And I think that works better.
It does. To me, it does. I mean, it's still eventually it's going to come down to the writing.
Yeah.
You know, it always does. You can have the same actors, but if the writing isn't good, God, look at the damn Full House reboot. Like, God bless their soul.
That they keep renewing because, well, I mean, the original was shit. So, I mean, how do you...
I guess...
So, the reboot is shit, too, and people are watching it.
Which, I guess I don't remember it being shit because I was so young.
You were a child.
Right. Yes. Now, like, looking at it as an adult, I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yes.
Oh, it's awful.
Yes.
So...
It was the whole time.
It really was? Okay. Thanks for that perspective. But yeah, I mean, because they got the actors back, but the writing just, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. And yeah, I know they get the actors back. I don't know how much effort they get into in getting the original writing team. Like, every time Futurama comes back, they're not coming back without the original writers.
Right.
So,
and that's critical.
But that's a cartoon where you don't have on-screen personalities. I mean, you have on-screen personalities, but they're animated. They're drawn. But
you still have to get the original voices.
Yeah,
I mean, Katie Sagal and Billy West and Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah.
Or not Joe DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio.
Yeah.
His brother.
Mostly him.
Yeah, it is mostly. I mean, but that's it. Like,
without Bender's proper shiny metal ass, then it's just not happening.
And I mean, but that's the funny thing is that Futurama is a show where they could very easily explain away a new voice actor because it's the future.
Yeah.
Oh, Bender got a new vocal processor.
He got a new vocal processor. Exactly.
Yeah. Bite my shiny metal ass. Yeah, and that just whatever.
But the fans would not
accept it.
Yeah, you can't have Bender with another.
Right. But for those characters, it's like The Simpsons and any other, you know, animated show. The voice actor is the character.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter that you don't see them physically on screen. The voice actor is the character.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, they do so much with their voice.
Right, exactly. I guess, did you see the video? It probably came out a year or so ago where the woman who does the voice for Bart Simpson kept, like, surprising people. Because I guess people still don't realize that Bart Simpson's voice by a woman.
This is Yeardley Smith, yeah.
Yeah, and so Yeardley Smith was, like, signing like Simpsons merchandise for somebody, and she just started like doing like a Bart Simpson voice. They're like, "Oh, that's a really good impression."
No, it's me.
Right. And so she just laughs and, you know, keeps doing it, and she's like, "I am the voice of Bart Simpson."
Yeah. Did you not know this?
Yeah. But it's a. So I mean, but yeah, it is the, because you couldn't put another voice in there for that,
right?
You know. Unless you're going to do like what South Park did with Isaac Hayes when they got mad at him.
I don't know if you remember at all, because it only ran for like half a season or one season. But there was a sitcom that came out like a few years into the Simpsons run that was called Herman's Head.
I do remember Herman's Head.
And most of the people in Herman's Head were the voice cast for the Simpsons.
Really?
Yeah, Yeardley Smith, Hank Azaria, I don't know which other ones, but yeah, but you know, they were on screen, you know, right. they actually had them talking in their regular voices, but yeah, it was, a lot of it was the Simpsons cast over here,
the pet project.
just doing this on the side, and I enjoyed Herman's Head immensely, but
yeah,
you know,
'cause I think Herman's Head came out before, going on that same lineup, the stuff that they would put on after The Simpsons on Fox.
Yeah.
Greg the Bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg the Bunny was fucking hilarious. Fucking hilarious. It's probably the funniest thing Seth Green's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Robot Chicken included. By far the funniest thing he ever did. That show was funny.
But, you know, I'm pretty sure that Pixar stole the whole concept for whatever.
Oh, Inside Out?
For Inside Out from Herman's Head.
From Herman's Head, yeah.
But, you know, nobody remembers Herman's Head, so it's not stolen. Much like The Lion King is not stolen from some African fairy tale that nobody in the U.S. knows.
Wasn't The Lion King just Hamlet or something?
Well, yeah, but it's also somebody else stole Hamlet and made it The Lion King before The Lion King did. It's like Simba the Lion or something that.
Yeah.
Some other company did it before. Okay. It's not just Hamlet. It is somebody else's adaptation of Hamlet
already done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
But, you know, Disney will sue the shit out of you if you try to do that to them.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between having no money and having all the money.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you have all the money, you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah, you could run for president.
You could.
And win. And say you're going to do horrible things.
But, oh, my God. Did you see on Kimmel, or it wasn't Kimmel, it was Jimmy Fallon, Hillary Clinton was on.
Okay.
And all the female staff writers, like, wrote thank you notes to Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Just look it up. It's hilarious.
Okay.
But I think my favorite one was, you know, she was writing her, like, each woman came out and did, like, a little short thank you note. And she was like, yeah, thank you, Hillary, for, you know, showing that women could run for president, and, you know, whatever, and, you know... Thank God. Yeah, I'm sure all the men in this country are very happy that we didn't have a moody, temperamental, overdramatic person in the White House.
Yes.
Dot, dot, dot. You know, it's... Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Who gets up at 2 a.m. and hits Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
To hate on tragedy victims.
Yeah. But at least he throws them paper towels.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a very funny
hand, like, motions work well on podcasts.
Rebooted cover of like the NBA 2K18 thing with Trump on it throwing fucking paper towels.
Nice.
The internet is undefeated. You will never beat the internet.
Yeah, well, the internet was part of the problem. But anyway.
The internet was a part of the problem. Probably the same fucking subreddits that
Yeah. I never see bad subreddits because I don't go to bad subreddits. And that's the good thing about Reddit. You don't have to go see the shit.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, is it there?
But anyway. Yeah.
But so, so going back to Will and Grace, mm-hmm. it's,
Well, I kind of see it as, you know, kind of like how Big Bang Theory has normalized nerd culture, but at the same time, it's seen as a bad thing by certain portions of nerd culture.
Right, and that's very true. It has normalized nerd culture a little bit, but actual nerd culture isn't a fan.
Right.
Yeah. Although I don't think that's the same. I obviously cannot speak for LGBT culture. But
yeah, I've never heard negative reviews of Will and Grace from the community.
From my friends, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because I don't know any actual nerds that like Big Bang Theory. Like, my mom likes Big Bang Theory.
Right, yeah. I mean...
Oh, is that stuff you guys do? No, it's not.
Well, it's kind of.
It's kind of a whitewashed version of it.
Yeah, really, yeah. It's the gentrified version of playing, you know, D&D in a dirty basement.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, like, the first episode of Stranger...
Table.
Yeah, the first episode of Stranger Things is closer to what we do than Big Bang Theory.
Exactly.
Because it's dark, you're in somebody's basement, you know, you're...
And if somebody throws out some horrible idea to the GM is going to go with it.
Yeah.
Which is what happened at the beginning of Stranger Things, and that's why people are dying.
Yeah.
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 Because somebody said, yeah, let's fight this thing.
Done.
Done. What? No, I was joking. Well,
I'm not joking. Fight it.
Fight it. Throw the fireball. Yeah. Okay.
But it's
season two of that is coming out.
I'm so
by
excited.
The end of the month.
Even though my Netflix price is going up.
Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. I think I just have like a $7.99 standard def one screen Netflix.
Yeah. I think we have two. I think we're still paying $7.99 whatever screen, but we can use two at a time.
I know I can't because my wife was watching Arrow, and I was trying to watch something on my phone. I wasn't at work, but I was somewhere where I have a lot of free time to look at my phone.
Yes.
But it was like, no, it's like somebody's already watching Netflix.
In between football
Arrow.
Matches at the bar, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
I wanted to catch an episode of Sunny, so...
It's always sunny. Like,
and that's true. It doesn't matter when you watch. It's always sunny.
Yeah.
We're going to do that at some point.
Okay.
Like, we'll find a good few episodes.
Sure.
Not next week.
Or 2 weeks.
Or 2 weeks.
We're on a bi-weekly schedule or semi-weekly
next episode.
Schedule or however you want to say that.
We're as regular as we can be.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. We're as regular as we can be with general fluctuations.
Right, well, we're as regular as we can be without, like, having, like, two or three episodes in the can, so we're always...
Yeah, which we attempted to do at one time, and then we're like, well, I guess we don't have to really record... We don't have to really shoehorn it in here, so we ended up just right back on regular... Oh, well, I guess the two that were in the can are no longer in the can.
I guess we need to record.
Do we want to do that again? No? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But, the show was very, you know, it was big for LGBT characters and putting them on screen.
I believe it was the first male-on-male kiss
I believe
on prime network prime time television. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost positive it was.
And, like, they did an ad blitz for it for the entire week.
Yeah.
And, like... had almost kisses for like the entire episode and then finally paid it off at the end, you know?
Which is cool. I mean, it's
like, oh yeah, we're fucking with you. Oh yeah, we're fucking with you.
Thank God they didn't do that with the, could you imagine? You remember like 3 years prior when NYPD Blue like showed a man's ass on TV? It was Dennis Franz, fucking fat dude from NYPD Blue. Thank God they didn't tease that the whole show.
We will show a man's ass this week on NYPD Blue.
And the whole episode is just a bunch of almost ass shots.
Yeah, with all the hot guys almost ass shots. And then they pay it off
Dennis Franz at the end.
Exactly.
Dennis Franz's fat, hairy ass. That would have been the best.
Yes.
That would have been my favorite TV episode ever. Just the biggest troll in the history of television. Here's every hot guy's almost ass. Then we're going to pay it off with the fat guy.
Yeah, we need to go back and get a whole shitload of NYPD Blue clips and just cut it together, where this episode happens. Yeah.
Come up with like a bullshit storyline to just put in the middle of it, but... a reason why people's almost asses appear on television.
Yeah, and then make the promo, make the ad promos that lead up to it too. So you know, so you have the propaganda machine and like, see, you know, this is the ad campaign going into the episode. And yeah, that would be the ultimate troll project.
That
awesome.
That would be great.
Look what happened in 1993 on network television.
Yeah.
We swear.
That's
how you
great.
Get a Snopes entry.
Yeah, it is. That's really all. I wanted to be internet famous.
Yeah, I just want a Snopes entry.
That's it. This NYPD episode, while hilarious, is not true. Fuck.
Yeah.
But I want...
Not only do I get a Snopes entry, I'm just going to go ahead and send it to them before I release.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sending it... What was it? Like Michael Bosco was the guy that did that show? Yeah, I'm sending it to Michael Bosco. He'll find it funny, and then he'll put it out there and everybody will watch it.
But at the same time, I'm going ahead and writing up my own Snopes entry and sending it to Snopes.
Yeah, I'm getting out in front of this. No fake news. This is just...
This is parody.
Yeah.
Done right.
Parody. Air quotes.
So basically, TV reboots seem to be going well.
They do.
I haven't...
I'm trying to think of what else they're rebooting.
I mean, Gilmore Girls was rebooted.
Yeah.
I've heard that... My wife says that was good, and they're doing another season, I think.
Cool.
Twin Peaks was rebooted.
Twin Peaks was
I've heard good,
good.
Things. I haven't
I
watched
enjoyed
it.
Twin Peaks.
X-Files got rebooted.
X-Files was awesome.
Yeah. And
did you not think so?
I'm not a big X-Files fan.
Oh, okay.
My wife is, and she agrees with you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and they're all doing the time has passed, let's continue the story in the future. You know, instead of the movie reboot.
Which,
so.
I mean, what does that really tell you about the state of television?
It tells you that the state of culture is we're nostalgic as fuck.
Yeah, because we've sort of run out of ideas. Like, that's the problem.
It's like, yeah, well, if you're going to sell us a random 90s sitcom idea... Why not just give us an old 90s sitcom that we already know the characters, so we don't have to... We don't have to invest in learning anything about this.
Yeah,
and we can.
Has anyone died?
Go back
no,
to.
We'll reboot it.
We can just go back to the old things. Like, you know, we would watch if Ed O'Neill and if the Bundys got back together.
Oh my god!
And it was
that
Bud and
be
Kelly's kid.
The best
you know, Bud and
show.
Kelly's families. You know, being forced to move back in with their parents.
Oh my god!
That would be amazing.
That show has to happen.
Ed O'Neill and Katie Seagal as the grandparents.
Yes.
Yeah,
married with grandchildren.
There we go.
Done. Cut my check.
Yeah. And, you know.
Modern Family, not that funny. Ed O'Neill, we got something better for you to do.
Yep, so make checks payable. TV executive makes checks payable to Black Market Toast. And just, randomly send them to an address.
P.O. Box 6969.
Yeah, because you're not going to do it. Yeah.
29369.
Yeah. We're not as influential as the Nerdist who actually made the X-Files reunion happen, which is fucking incredible.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. What do you have in store for next time?
So 15 years ago, this month,
dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 I was a highly impressionable young college student.
Okay.
Experiencing my first semester at Baptist College, and this movie came out.
Uh-huh.
It was called Jackass.
Okay.
Not a Jackass fan?
No, I'm not a Jackass fan, but I'll watch it.
Okay, well, and we'll go into it, but it was more culturally influential than... people believe.
You're right, but
so
not more than Will and Grace.
No. No. By far, no. No. It was not. So we're going to watch Jackass. I don't care what you watch. You can watch a TV show. You can watch any of the movies.
Okay.
It's all the same shit.
Yeah, it was on MTV, and it was big enough where they made movies.
So. Right. See,
yeah.
And I never watched the MTV show, so.
Yeah. Okay. So we will discuss Jackass next time with, you know, two jackasses talking about Jackass. So, yeah, yep, that works.
It'll just be a jackassy episode.
Yeah, Jackass at the Rama or something.
Jackass-O-Rama.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's a future Jackass-O-Rama.
Yes.
Hey. Okay. And I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram. And
I'm that Joe you know on Instagram. I'm the Joe you know on Twitter.
And we will talk at you next time. Toast.